Moms, dads, are you the parent of a student athlete? Do you want to know how to get the most out of youth sports? If so, listen to the Next Pitch podcast to give you the tools to raise an aspiring athlete. It's not simple, but we talk straight and give you the best insight there is when it comes to youth sports. We'll cover everything from nutrition and training to mental toughness and teamwork. It's a podcast you can listen to together with your kids so everyone can benefit. Follow Next Pitch on the Odyssey app or wherever you listen to podcasts.
He is our Browns beat reporter, Daryl Ryder. He covers everything, actually. And he's brought to us by Scheiben Jewelers, Cleveland's premier jewelry store.
Hi, Daryl.
D.
Hello, boys. I have not been traded.
Are you sure?
Give it time.
I'm sure. I have not been traded as of the beginning of this conversation. Subject to change in the next 15 minutes.
I've got some news for you. You've been traded to a shortwave radio station in Antarctica. For a player to be named later. And cash considerations less than $15. Is that all right?
That's about worth what I'm worth. So there you go.
All right, Daryl, you've had a chance to kind of take a breath because there's no practice today. Just kind of reflect on what you, your overall feeling on camp. And I still think yesterday it was live tackling. What? They went live during practice yesterday? Are they trying to step it up? Is this a new, meaner, leaner, aggressive football team that we're about to see?
Well, I don't know about any of that because practice really didn't look any better yesterday than it did the previous couple
of
days.
But they went live. I mean, in between charting throws from all three quarterbacks that were out there, I mean, it's either chart throws or, oh, my, they're going live.
Yeah, I mean, look, Kevin Stefanski, obviously, one of the points of emphasis this training camp is to crank up the intensity, to make this a tougher football team, a more, as he'd like to say, calloused football team. I don't know that that's going to help them score any points this year, but I get it, and I certainly understand it. It was surprising yesterday because we're all looking at each other like, we're pretty sure we have never seen this before in a Kevin Stefanski training camp where they are tackling live. So I don't know if it helps him win any more games this fall, but it was a surprising sight to see, that's for sure.
Well, Kevin Stefanski had talked about some of that stuff, Daryl, so maybe they're trying to get tougher, more physical, which isn't that kind of what football's all about?
Yeah, it is. You know, let's be honest about it. The Browns haven't been the most mentally tough team in recent years among the league leaders in pre-snap penalties. That absolutely has to change this year. Their margin for error this year is basically next to none, especially on the offensive side of the ball. So you can't be starting first and 15 because of a mental lapse. You're already behind the sticks with just what you have to work with. So it's something that they've looked at, obviously, this offseason. It's something that, you know, Kevin Stefanski has wanted to make a point of, and that is that they just have to be more mentally and physically stronger. And I'm not convinced that it's going to help them win any more games this fall, but it is nice to see Kevin Stefanski once again, because he's done this throughout his coaching career, but here in Cleveland. But it's nice to see once again that Kevin Stefanski is willing to pivot and make changes in an effort to make this a better football team.
Daryl Ryder, Browns beat reporter, who has covered every second of camp, minicamp, and everything you possibly can think of. Michael Woods released injury designation. Yeah. Your thoughts on that? And obviously that creates opportunity, especially where we're hearing there's some young guys, free agents, that are kind of pushing these guys a little.
Yeah, and I mean, look, receiver continues to be a major question mark. I think that that's fair to say. I mean, you basically have Jerry Jeudy. We have an idea what Cedric Tillman might be, but he's got to be healthy and he's got to go out there and prove it, right? And then it's just the rest of it's just a bunch of question marks. Now, that potentially could be camouflage this year because of the volume of 12 personnel they might plan to deploy, throw into the running backs out of the backfield as well. But yeah, receiver's a problem on this team. And it's something that they're going to at some point have to address. I don't know that there's any solutions through the waiver wire, but you know, definitely in 2026, that needs to be a focal point to bring in some help at that position. Because again, there's just way too many questions in that room.
There's one thing about the wide receiver, Daryl, that I think, okay, that's great. Luke Florier from Kent State, local guy, getting a lot of pub. Same thing with Gage Larvadane, whose name has popped up like crazy in the last couple of days.
Yeah, him and Shedeur Sanders, I think, are BFFs.
Which is all great. The only thing I'll say, each one of those guys is 5'8" and under 180 pounds.
Oh, is that a problem?
Well, I'll go with one of them because, you know, but two of them, I don't know. And you have DeAndre Carter, who's 5'8". But at least he weighs 190.
Well, they're also trying to tell us a 5'11 quarterback can play too. So, you know, I don't know what to tell you there, Jeff.
Wow, Daryl.
It's kind of a salty.
You can have one 5'8 wide receiver. I just don't. I don't want to keep my fingers crossed on Cedd Tillman and Deontay Johnson. Right. And then fill out the squad with a couple of 5'8 guys.
Well, and look, Deontay Johnson's starting to have himself a nice kid.
Yeah,
right?
He is, isn't he? Yeah.
But you feel like he's a ticking time bomb, too. Right?
You're wondering, right? You're wondering.
Right. I mean, that's my big concern with him. He's a ticking time bomb. So that's kind of why I omitted him a little bit. Whatever you get from him is gravy. I have no expectations to get anything out of him. So if they're able to get some production out of him, that's fantastic, right? That's a win, no question about it. You mentioned DeAndre Carter, right? Could we finally maybe see a little something from Jamari Thrash? Caden Davis, you know, who's getting some reps. I would be surprised if Luke Florier made the roster, but that's just me. And I'm not hating on the kid. I just think that there is a little bit of an uphill climb for there.
Well, sure, yeah.
And, you know, I'm kind of thinking that he's a guy they're going to try and sneak through and get him to waivers so that they can maybe, you know, put him on the practice squad.
Sure.
Now, that can change. A lot can change between now and the end of August, right, in that position room. But let's give the kid his flowers. I think he's doing everything the organization wants. He looks good on the field. I just feel like maybe for him, it's a little bit of an uphill climb. And look, I think there's a possibility they actually don't keep six wide receivers on this roster. I think if they're going to keep the four quarterbacks, the position group that will have to sacrifice a spot is going to be that wide receiver room. Mm-hmm. Instead of keeping the customary six that we're used to seeing, I think they keep five.
Let me throw one thing at you, because we're in agreement about, you know, the talent. Your fingers are crossed that there's enough talent there to make it work. Right. My guy DJ Chark signed with Atlanta, so he's off the board. Would you bring
my condolences to you?
Thank you very much. Would you bring in a free agent who's out there, or would you just sit tight and wait and see how it goes?
I think right now, for at least the next 2 weeks, let's see what you got. Okay,
through the Eagles game.
Yeah.
Okay.
Let's see what you got. Let's give some of these guys a chance to keep getting the reps that they're getting and see if there is a little something there. There's no harm in that. Now, when we get toward the end of the – after we get through the preseason, we get toward, you know, cut-down day, the last Tuesday there in August, my thoughts are going to change, I think, significantly. But for right now, Jeff, they're no harm, no foul. Get these kids reps. Let's see what's there. Hope, fingers crossed, hope you find a little something, right? Somebody continues to surprise and perform well, and you want to give them a shot. But I think it's when you get to that initial 53-man roster construction and actually beyond that on the Wednesday to follow, I think that's when you've got to look, okay, let's get serious here. We need to bring in another receiver off the waiver wire. Now, I'm going to caution Browns fan. Not to commit the mistake that they have committed often so many other times after the initial 53, when waiver claims started to be filed. There is nobody they're going to claim on waivers that's going to help them to win the Super Bowl. I just want to throw that out there.
See, I agree with you on that. I do. I wonder, though, you know, would a vet like Keenan Allen now, but I'm kind of with you, though I'd like to add talent to that group, let's see what you have. You know, let's see if any of these guys can step up for you. What's Cedric Tillman look like for you so far?
He's looked all right. I mean, look, outside of Jerry Jeudy, nobody's wowing anybody out there right now. I think we know what he's going to be, but again, he's got to be healthy and available, and he's got to show it. Look, this is an offense that is not scoring a lot of points in training camp right now. Okay, these are like Eric Mangini practices. They're not scoring. And when they are scoring, it's because they're, you know, finishing the play, if you will. Okay. That's like really super concerning to me because you need to score points. This is not a high powered, prolific offense by any stretch of the imagination. I think part of that is the quarterback situation. Part of that is skill position deficiencies, but, you know, it's going to be on Stefanski here to kind of craft something that can work with what he's got. He does have some pieces. He's got David Njoku, right? He's got Jerome Ford. Harold Fannin Jr., I absolutely love. I think that kid has the potential to be an absolute beast in this league. Nice. I think that is one hell of a third-round pick there by Andrew Berry. Big, big fan of that young man. It's just been very underwhelming watching this offense perform. And, you know, I'm caught between the middle, right? Okay, well, is the defense back? Are they just that good? Or on the other side of the corner, okay, is the offense just that inept? You know, are they that caught up in this quarterback competition and the consistently inconsistent reps, you know, because they're, you know, five plays, it's Joe Flacco. The next five plays, it's Dylan Gabriel. And then it's back to Joe Flacco and vice versa, right? Oh, well, we got to get Shedeur Sanders on the field for some reps. Let's throw him in there for, you know, 5 to 7 plays. Like, you're not able to really establish any rhythm. So, like, I'm trying to grant them the grace of this competition and trying to feel out the quarterback position. But I'm telling you, they're 7 practices into this thing. And 5 of them I have left with Eric Mangini traumatic flashbacks from watching his practices because there's no points being scored with any semblance of regularity. And when they are, it's from the finishing. Like you can't, they're not clean, if that makes sense. Like it's not clean, explosive plays. So it is a tough evaluation because we've had a couple of practices in pads, one of them was live. And again, I'm caught between defense being back and elite and really, really good, and they're just shutting these guys down versus, yeah, the offense is what I feared it was going to be going into this season, and they're really going to have to ground and pound the football this year for them to be successful outside of throwing it to David Njoku, Harold Fannin Jr., and Jerry Jeudy.
Daryl, as always, thank you. I do have to let you know, I'm sorry about this. The shortwave radio station at the South Pole has rescinded the deal with you. You did not pass the physical. However, I am hearing rumors now that there is a ham a radio operator somewhere at the North Pole that was willing to put up $16 rather than $15. So there's a chance your trade may still go through. Congratulations.
Well, I better work on my Santa chuckle then if I'm headed to the North Pole.
Well, moms, dads, are you the parent of a student athlete? Do you want to know how to get the most out of youth sports? If so, listen to the Next Pitch podcast to give you the tools to raise an aspiring athlete. It's not simple, but we talk straight and give you the best insight there is when it comes to youth sports. We'll cover everything from nutrition and training to mental toughness and teamwork. It's a podcast you can listen to together with your kids so everyone can benefit. Follow Next Pitch on the Odyssey app or wherever you listen to podcasts.
Well done. Well done. And Daryl brought up something interesting. And with Michael Woods now being released to injury designation, it's interesting to see the Browns. Like, he was a draft pick, right? 6th-round pick. We talked about this at the beginning of the show. By the way, if anything happens to the baseball trade deadline, especially regarding the Guardians, we will break into anything else that we're talking about, and that will take over the conversation. 216-474-0092. 216-474-0092.
And at 1 o'clock, who's joining us?
Oh,
our buddy,
our good friend Anthony Castrovince from MLB.com, local guy. So he'll join us coming up, and we'll get the lowdown from him. I'm sure he'll have maybe some backstories and find out something else that's going on. Hopefully, we'll get some info from him at 1 o'clock. All right, so let's go back, and I just want to talk about the wide receiver situation. And you know, you brought it up that you've got some young guys that are pushing the envelope that are under 6 foot.
Well, they're under 5'10".
Okay, well, I'm just trying to. Be You know, in a Ray Farmer offense, that's killer, isn't it?
Wow.
I mean, he likes short receivers.
Wow.
Is that not, am I saying something that wasn't true?
Wow.
Am I saying something that is not true?
All I know is that right now the Browns have 3 wide receivers on their roster who are listed at 5'8". That's too many.
If you can catch... And you can get in the end zone. I don't really care.
I didn't say you shouldn't have them. I just said it's too many. And if you're going to use DeAndre Carter strictly as a return guy and not at wide receiver, then you have Luke Floria and Gage Larvadane fighting it out for a spot. And Andy, maybe both of those guys are able to get on the practice squad. That'd be awesome. I mean,
so you're saying they're in trouble if they both end up on the regular roster as backups?
What would you think of a wide receiver crew? And Daryl said 5 guys. Well, if they only have 5 guys, and there's no way that the 2 young guys would both make the roster. It just wouldn't happen. I mean, think about it. Jerry Jeudy, Cedric Tillman, Deontay Johnson, and 2 undrafted 5'8 guys? That's not happening.
I guess it depends how you look at the guy who's 6'4 and 6'3 that can catch the ball.
I'm all for a 5'8" guy. That's just fine. I just don't need 2 or 3 of them.
I mean, I tend to agree with you. I mean, I like my wide receivers more than 6 foot. I'm just saying. In fact, I like them closer to 6'1", 6'2".
I like 6'3", 6'4", guys who weigh about 230.
All right, well, I'll give you those. And what does this team call them, though? This team has those receivers. They're called tight ends.
You have Cedric Tillman. I like Cedric, man. I'm so hopeful for him. 6'3", 215, by the way. And you know who else, Andy, who is an interesting guy? And this is going to sound nasty, and I don't mean it to. I don't want him to fall into the Michael Woods category.
Okay.
Jamari Thrash. And Jamari had some
Jamari's
moments.
Jamari's not there, though.
Well, no, this is the category I mean.
Okay.
And don't forget Michael Woods, too. Right now, it's like, hey, you got 3 wide receivers. Nobody's talking about Jamari Thrash. Jamari has some ability. You know, I thought he did if you look at video of him from Louisville when he was in college, and I have, man, he was tough. Now that's in college. He was tough. And I hope he can become clearly the 4th wide receiver, and not just to fill a roster spot, but to contribute. Be a real contributor. And don't count him out. I think he has some ability. I really do.
Here's the issue I have, and it's pro football focus, right? So you automatically, you look at your wide receiving core, and you're like, oh, I wonder about Tillman, and is Deontay Johnson going to be able to be anything? And Jerry Jeudy, I feel good about him, right? And so you look at it, and that's probably a pretty fair assessment of the way Browns fans look at your top 3 wide receivers. And then you go to look to see how the rest of the world looks at your team, and you go to Pro Football Focus, and they're telling you that the Browns have the 32nd best wide receiving core in the league. That's kind of a hard pill to swallow.
Ahead of who, Andrew?
That would be Ohio State. No, they're not. Ohio State's ahead of them.
Trust that's not the case.
To be honest with you, Ohio State is better.
I'll trade them right now. Position group for position group. Let's go. Get Smith in here. Let's go right now.
You say Ohio State, and you want that to be a joke, but it's not. You would take Ohio State's wide receiving core over the Browns,
probably only because of the potential of Jeremiah Smith. All right, move along. Let's not go off on that team. No, come back, Andy.
No, I'm already
come
there.
Come back, Andy. He's already going to the keyboard, folks.
I'm just
come back. Come back.
No, I don't want to come back.
Come back.
Yeah, there's no way. I mean, Carnell Tate and Jeremiah Smith alone just make me think. And Brandon Ennis, we'll see.
Plus, they signed Christian Henry, didn't they? Kid coming in. Didn't they? Big-time recruit.
Stop. Stop. Why are you putting me through this misery? Why are we going through this misery? Yeah. Thanks for the misery. Is there any hope with that? I don't want to be down on the wide receiving core.
No.
I want to believe that quarterbacks can make wide receiving cores better, but we don't really have a quarterback right now, so I can't have that. I feel good about our tight ends. Okay. Yay. Is that enough to win games?
Well, you know what concerns me more than all of our talk? Daryl saying how poor the offense has looked in camp so far.
Yeah,
not getting the ball in the end zone. As Daryl said, they're getting into the end zone on plays that don't get finished. What does that mean? It means where, you know, that thud thing, right? We're just going thud today. So in other words, we've hit you, but we're not allowed to bring you to the ground, and we're going to let you go, and then you run to the end zone. Okay, thanks. That's not a touchdown.
Yeah, but they're not the only ones. I mean, everyone that's practicing now, look, from NFL to CYO, they're all doing thud tackling. They should be doing thud. Probably the CYO is probably doing the most tackling of all, let's be honest. They probably tackle more now during practice than any other level of sports. I just don't know how to look at the wide receiving core other past Jerry Jeudy. Sorry. I'm so
hopeful for Cedric Tillman. I really am.
But you're sitting here on hope.
You know what I'm sitting here on? I'm sitting here on a small sample size.
Who will have more yards, Tillman or Deontay Johnson this year?
That's a great question. Tillman.
I'm going to go Johnson.
Okay.
I think as long as everything goes forward for Deontay Johnson and he like likes playing here, they put him in a winning position that we're not seeing any of the, you know, he said, again, try to forget about the last year. Okay. I'm trying to do that. If he, you know, he puts his nose to the ground and plays, first of all, he could have giant money on the other side of this, right?
Nose to the ground?
I don't know. With a ball? What do you, nose to the grindstone?
Is he a dog?
Well, why would you say that?
He's a dog.
You know that's not what
I was
saying.
That's good here in Cleveland.
Well, I want
He's
him
a
to
dog.
Work. If he works hard and just does what, just
that'd be,
catch
that'd
the
be
football,
a grindstone.
That's what I said. I made
you
up for it on the back.
Nose to the ground. You came back. I got you. I had your back. Kinda.
I came back and said, I'm sorry, I meant nose to the grindstone. And by the way, who puts noses to the grindstone anyway? Why would you do that?
That would just rip that thing off.
Yeah, why would you ever do that?
I don't understand.
What is the origin?
I mean, you get a scab on that thing, then it's, you know, you need sunscreen forever.
It is a pretty ridiculous.
You probably should wear those little things over your nose.
Basically, I want him to work hard and just play football. How's that sound? And be a great football player like we think he can be. But
and when I said Tillman, by the way, it wasn't because I'm down on Deontay Johnson. I like Deontay circa Pittsburgh 4 years ago. I do. I thought he was really a nice receiver. It's about my optimism about Cedric Tillman. I honestly, Andy, my fingers are crossed. If crossing my fingers works and Deontay Johnson does what he has done in the league and Cedric Tillman does what he did in short sample sizes with throwing quarterbacks over the last couple of years, I think the Browns wide receivers will be pretty good. And then you add a little depth. And hopefully Jamari Thrash is that guy. And that gives you four. So I can see a path to having four pretty good wide receivers. And I can see a path to having one.
By the way, nose to the grindstone origin.
Good Lord, man.
Is the practice of knife grinders.
Meredith.
Who need to bend over the stone or even lie flat on their fronts to sharpen their blades in order to hold knives against their stone.
Meredith, take the keyboard away from
it
him.
It also means working extremely hard.
I would try, but I think it's attached to the desk.
I had some knives sharpened the other day, a set of steak knives.
So wait a second. You want me to get off of the definition of something that we both said multiple times, and now you have a knife story for us.
$6.
Only Jeff Phelps.
It was $6 a knife or a dozen knives. I thought, what? I needed to ask the price first.
When's the last time you've had to have a pair of skates sharpened?
Since I've never owned skates, I'll
say. And then
say
when
never.
You have three pairs of skates that have to get sharpened because dad's got to join in the group.
Hockey boy, you know how many times I've been on skates in my life?
I'm going to say zero.
Once.
Once.
Yeah.
And how was it?
I was terrible, obviously.
Well, if you would have gotten and tried it a second time, you may not have been terrible.
I just wanted to tell you, I was done.
When it comes to skating, and I want you to look me straight in the eye, I'm going to tell you how this works. It's about the process. You just have to keep on doing it. Mason is in Lakewood. Hello, Mason. How are you?
Hi, Mason.
Hey, can you hear me?
I can hear you. Can you hear us?
Yeah.
Yep, awesome. I was a first-time caller. I've never done this, so this is pretty exciting.
Well, we are proud of you, Mason. We will be nice.
Pumped.
Thank you. Okay. So I just wanted to pop on here. You guys talking about the Browns receivers. I think we got a long ways to go, and that guy you were talking about on the Buckeyes, Jeremiah Smith.
Yeah.
Yep. Coming out in 2 years. We got 2 draft picks next year. I was thinking, what if we took another step back next year, traded a couple of picks so that in the following draft we could pick up Jeremiah Smith, have a stud receiver, hopefully Shador works out, or Dylan Gabriel. Give me one of the two. I don't care.
Mason, and, you lie. You have called sports. Mason, you're lying to us. You have called Sports Talk Radio multiple times because
you laid it all out well.
You are 100% on a great riff right there, and you were ready to go.
Way to go, Mason.
I am super proud of you, man.
Call back.
Thank you. Love you guys. You guys are great. Listen 24/7. You guys are awesome.
There you go, Mason. All right, you got to get a job somewhere in between. Okay, we need you to make some money so you can afford the radio so you can listen to us, okay?
Thanks, guys.
Thank you, Mason.
Do you really want to do the, would you rather have Jeremiah Smith, Carnell Tate, Brandon Innes, or would you rather have the Browns wide receiving corps? Do we want to do that? Tillman, Judy, and Johnson. Oh, man, I'd love to have Jeremiah Smith. He's so NFL ready.
He's ready to go now.
216. Sorry, Jeff.
They're just going to keep going. The kid I mentioned, Chris Henry, and his dad was Chris Henry, who played for the Bengals. He's like the number one recruit in the country at wide receiver, and he's coming in, I think, next year, isn't he?
216. Yeah, no, it's not this year. I don't think
Brian Hartline, way to go, buddy. Remember when Brian was on our show telling us about the drive-thru that he owned in Stark County?
What was it?
He owned a drive-thru.
But what drive-thru? Beverage food?
Yeah. Oh,
smart man.
Yeah.
So funny, somehow, some way, people need beverages to drink. And if you don't have to get out of the car to get them, what a great idea.
Dude went from NFL to the drive-thru to Ohio State. He'll be a head coach in college if he wants to be.
He will be before you know it. I would predict in the next 3 years
He's done a great job.
Two, 3 years. I give him two.
Great job.
216-474-0092. 216-474-0092. Let's get back to the baseball trade deadline. We are watching the minutes click away towards 6 o'clock. What will the Guardians roster look like after 6? They've already made 2 moves. We'll talk about them again when we come back, but we're all waiting to hear where Stephen Kwan will be playing within 72
tomorrow.
Hours. Either tomorrow or 72 hours, because that's how long you have to report. 216-474-0092, Baskin Phelps, 92.
Moms, dads, are you the parent of a student athlete? Do you want to know how to get the most out of youth sports? If so, listen to the Next Pitch podcast to give you the tools to raise an aspiring athlete. It's not simple, but we talk straight and give you the best insight there is when it comes to youth sports. We'll cover everything from nutrition and training to mental toughness and teamwork. It's a podcast you can listen to together with your kids so everyone can benefit. Follow Next Pitch on the Odyssey app or wherever you listen to podcasts.
3, the fan. Basket Phelps, 92.3, the fan. I forgot to tell you the story.
Something funny I said?
Yeah, no. Something funny that happened yesterday.
Oh, good.
So I was listening to Afternoon Drive yesterday. And they were talking about whether Stephen Kwan would get traded or not today. And again, that is like storyline of the day. Shane Bieber got traded to Toronto. If you missed any of that, the Guardians picked up a Double A pitcher, a guy who's just who's a little banged up right now. But
one start in Double A.
He's 9-1 on the season. Yeah. I mean, on paper, it looks like he was decent.
Jeff
Passan deal.
Called him like one of the pop up prospects of 2025. From ESPN.
Right. So, and if you didn't think they were going to get anything for Bieber, it's so weird. Like. If this was a year ago before the injury and that's all they got for him, like we'd be like, what are they doing? Like, what couldn't they have gotten more for him?
And it's not even the injury. It's just that contract.
Yeah.
You know, if
and they still had to pay him a ton of cash this year to not even play.
What do you think I think he was making $10 million this year. So prorated what they paid him $8 million to rehab. So they basically paid $8 million to help Shane Bieber out and pick up a guy in his first year of pro ball.
He'll write him a check for it. No problem. I mean, he'll probably write the Guardians back a check. Hey, guys, thank you. Here, I took off for what rehab cost, and here we go. We'll call it even.
It is interesting that they, you know, they gave him a contract to rehab him. The one thing about that I will forever not understand, how did Bieber get the player option in the second year?
Because he was Shane Bieber, and they thought there's an option to maybe if they were in a position to use him this year. Although, that's not their MO. You're right. It's not.
As long as the option, it didn't do them a ton of good other than the fact of, well, in case your rehab doesn't go very well and you need a bailout option, we'll be it. You know what I mean?
Yeah, it is weird.
Because to me,
why with that much money on the line, why did they give him the option?
If I'm going to pay you $10 million to let you not pitch for us until maybe August, well, by golly, we're going to have the option the next year for $16 million.
So wait, are you saying in a good Samaritan world, he would have picked up the option and said, thank you for giving me $10 million to rehab?
I'm coming back.
I'm going to do this because I'm a good guy. I'm not saying he's not a good guy, but it's just business, right?
I just found it weird when it was announced. Wait a minute. He's coming back from the injury, and yet he has the option?
Let me tell you why I was laughing. I got to find the text because I sent it to the boys yesterday in the afternoon.
The boys.
So Stephen Kwan obviously is the big story of the day, right? We're all trying to see if Kwan gets traded, what they would get in return, and if he's truly on the trade block. And I don't know. John Morosi's been kind of putting stuff out all day. Maybe San Diego, kind of pushing the San Diego narrative on this thing, right?
Yeah, but the guy that I mentioned for San Diego, who I thought, well, would they put him in a Kwan deal? No. Why? Because they put him in the Mason Miller deal.
So yesterday, you know, they were kicking around the idea of if Stephen Kwan is going to get traded, right? And so some guy calls and said, hey, will you guys let me know if he gets traded? It was a pretty funny phone call. He goes, let me know if he gets traded because my kid is in the Stephen Kwan baseball camp, which is today at League Park. And then they were wondering if we were going to send a beat reporter out there to see if he was out there. And I was like, guys, because the question was, would if he was at the camp this morning, that would mean that he didn't get traded, right? And I'm like, guys, even if he gets traded, he's still going to be at that camp. And then you go online, tickets for the camp. Want to guess how much? As I just look online.
I don't know.
$165.
To go to the Stephen Kwan baseball
camp? For a one-day baseball camp. I'm pretty sure it's a one-day baseball camp. Yes.
Wow.
To be with the instructors, ages 6 to 13. Positive energy, all kinds of fun. Camp team photo.
Well, you got to have one of those.
Free download, 7 to 10 business days afterwards. Limited edition Stephen Kwan baseball t-shirt, camp t-shirts, and then some take-home items from the event sponsors, if available, for his camp today. And I'm just kind of looking at this. And then I texted those guys. I'm like, whether he gets traded or not, he's going to be at that camp at $161 to go participate, don't you think? At $165.
Who was putting it on? Was it Steven or was it the team?
It was not the team. It was there's a group that he was working with.
Yeah, the one he was going to be there.
Flexwork is the name of the group that did it.
He was going to be.
I mean, I might as well give them a little bit of credit. So then, they were going back and forth, and then I didn't hear what their response was because I sent them the text. And I was like, he is going to be there no matter what because of the price of the ticket that is there. And by the way, why wouldn't
– even if you got traded – you know what Nick and Jonathan said?
What'd they say?
Nick, hey, Baskin's bugging us again.
They JP, did not.
Doesn't he have better things to do?
So I'd let him know. Why? Better things to do than listen to our station while I'm in the car driving around?
Bug them while they're doing their job.
I wasn't bugging them. I just wanted to let them know. And now all of you know this.
Baskin's Googling while driving.
I wasn't driving at the time. I was getting out of the car, and I was sitting in the driveway. I waited till I got home, and then I texted those guys, just so you know that. Thank you. You could ruin any story. You could destroy any story. So... if you would have got traded,
I love you.
How long do you have to report for a trade, Jeff? I'll just ask you that. I'll give you
72 hours.
You are correct. Yeah. 70. Did I already say that once during this conversation?
You did, but that's common knowledge.
Oh, it is. Everybody knows that you have 72 hours to report.
No, but I would hope the two guys who have spent about whatever it is we've spent doing this nonsense, we'd know that.
Well, I didn't know. The only reason I double checked it was because I knew it could be different from league to league, right? It all depends on the CBA.
All right, let's go with it.
So it was 72 hours. It said, according to AI, came back and let me, my good friends at AI. In the MLB, a player traded to a new team generally has 72 hours to report to their new club. This time frame allows the players to arrange travel and settle their affairs before joining their new team. The exact reporting time can vary depending on travel logistics and distance between the two teams.
That's
in case
great.
You were wondering.
That's great.
Because I think we all sit here on these trade deadline days, and we all think they just go into that little tube that they used to go to on Star Trek, and they dissipate, and then they reappear in the city where they have to be. So
that's wonderful.
Glad I could share that with you. Chuck, Abe, and Avon Lake, bail me out, my friend. Hi,
Charles.
Chuck?
Yes.
How are you, my friend?
I was in a dead spot there for a second.
Oh, no.
That's okay. Jeff and I live our lives in that dead spot, just so you know.
That's good. Now, the reason I'm calling is I'm 76 years old. I can remember when sports were sports. Nowadays, it might still be a sport to me, but to the players and the owners, it's nothing more than a business. They don't trade players. They trade contracts. I mean, look at Deshaun Watson. He had absolutely zero interest in coming to Cleveland until goofball Jimmy said, how about two? Oh, I love Cleveland. Miles Garrett, I just want to win a check. You're going to pay me how much? Like Kwan now, and I love Stephen Kwan. My heart's in Cleveland, but my bank account is going to talk instead. There's not many Jose Ramirez. Not that he got underpaid at 160, but it's just about the money. These guys don't care.
Here, I'll give you two parts of that story there, Chuck. One, unfortunately, when we first started saying it, and you're saying play for the love of the sport, and if you think about it, these guys in the NFL especially had to have a second job during the offseason so that they could live, right? So that,
and they liked
and
it.
And when you were right, you're right. It's a business. It is about the contract. It is about the money. I mean, that's like trying to say that, you know, high-level college athletics is about the education, right? It's not. It's right. Not. It's about getting paid. So it's where we are. You're right. You're right, Chuck.
I'll tell you one. My grandparents used to live across the street from George Strickland. Does that make a name to you?
Yeah. Former Indian.
And those guys couldn't. That's right. And they used to have to work two jobs now, but they just don't care about winning. I really believe that. They'll play in North Dakota if somebody pays them enough money.
It's called barnstorming, isn't it?
It's a fine state, though. A lot of scenery.
It is. Yeah. Oh, yeah. It's
home
and
of Travis
honestly,
Hafner.
When's enough money enough money?
Never.
No, that's a good point.
I mean, never.
The one thing about Kwan, Chuck, and we'll see, but I mentioned earlier a couple of times, there was a story on Cleveland.com written by Ethan Sands where he talked to Kwan, and he said he'd be very open to talking to the Guardians about an extension. He'd love to. So.
Yeah, but they never say, and how much money?
Well, no, they didn't mention that, Chuck. You're right.
In the story, I like to tell you that Travis Fryman did not take the money on the back end of his contract.
That's
when he
exactly
retired,
right.
So
he gave it back. That's why I will tell you, I was always hate. Jim told me, don't cry and say you had to go because you couldn't make it on 50, 60 million in Cleveland. Come on,
tough times around here, Chuck. Thank you, appreciate it. I mean, how far can you go on 50 or 60 million, Jeff? I don't know. You tell me.
Only one team offered Jim a better contract than the Indians did, and he took it, and he probably should have.
He did not want to leave.
No, he didn't, but it was a lot of money. The Phillies needed him. Going into a new ballpark, they made it worth his while.
It was weird. Like, you listen to that phone call, and then you think back to when he left. And then when he came back, you were the one, you talked to him about saying, were you the one that did the interview with him, or had talked to him, or he'd said something?
When he came back
when
to
he
Chicago,
came back at,
from with,
when he was
with
playing
the
with the White Sox, and he played here, yeah.
Yeah.
And the fans were like, yeah, whatever, see you later. Right? They have a right to, though. That's what
he said.
I mean,
well,
you
he
want
said
to be in an
interview. Andy, if you like Jim Thome, it would make you feel really bad because he came back, first appearance back, and he got booed, remember,
mm-hmm.
with the White Sox. And I had done a show with him in spring training and a sit down, you know, Jim returns to Cleveland, mm-hmm. right? And he talked all about all kinds of things about not wanting to leave and, you know, his career and everything else. And I told him, I'll get you some CDs of that. So I took it up to him in the locker room and said something about, you know, what happened the day before. And he said, unfortunately, Cleveland's just going to be another place I play on the road for now.
For now.
And I thought,
and then he
wow.
came back on 92.3 The Fan night and hit that played for us and hit the home run.
It was beautiful, baby.
Eric.
But he felt terrible.
Eric is in charge. Eric, are you the one that called the afternoon show yesterday?
Yes, I did.
Oh, hey, outstanding Eric. Phone call yesterday, Eric. You made my day. You made my day.
Oh, good. Well, now I can be done the Stephen Kwan beat reporter.
Okay, good.
Somebody has to be.
Yeah. So my son went today.
You have a good time?
It was raining. It was pouring. It was horrible. They basically shut it down, but Stephen Kwan showed up. They pretty much canceled it. He showed up and wanted to spend time with the kids, so they moved it into the museum there, and he still spent the time with all the kids, answered questions, took pictures, had a great time.
Nice.
That's good.
Did any kid ask him if he's getting traded?
And did you get a refund?
Yeah, that's true, too.
So my wife told me that I can't confirm or deny this yet, but she told me they were refunding it. So he did all that for free.
They can't trade him now.
Got to keep him, Eric.
They cannot trade him now, can they? Especially if that's true, unconfirmed reports now on that. If he does do that, that what a top-notch guy. I mean, we've already heard that he's a top-notch guy, but I mean, if he gave it back. So, you have to wait 7 to 10 days for your picture? Is that what it is? Did you get it at least?
No. Well, my wife took pictures with their cell phone. But, yes, the official picture is supposed to be in a couple days.
So he was there, and there was no buzz about him going anywhere, right?
Oh, I was trying to. My son's 10. I'm like, you just got to ask him. I was telling him, ask him if he got traded. But
going to the Padres?
Now, and then afterwards, did your son get the opportunity to take any ground balls, and did you have the opportunity to yell at him because of his positioning? Because that's good parenting right there, if you can do that. Very important.
They didn't. It was raining too hard. They didn't really do anything.
Man.
But the whole experience was great when kids were happy. I mean, smile ear to ear. So Steven's a great guy in my book. That's my report.
Eric, excellent job. Well done. Well done. You get we will send you a free bag of air. For all of your help. Thank you so much.
Thank you, Eric. Perfect.
You're the man. Eric and Chardon checking in. Yesterday, he was on Afternoon Drive, gave us all this like gigantic nugget of wisdom about Stephen Kwan having a camp today, which I don't think a lot of people knew about. And then he followed up. That's good news reporting, Jeff. That's what a good news reporter should do. Eric, bravo to you. We need more people like you. If you're not in journalism, I wish you were. Following through on the story. That's what it's got to be all about. What do you think of that, Jeff?
I think you should go to break.
I will. Anthony Kastrovitz is going to join us next from MLB.com. We will have it. If there's news or information about the Guardians making a trade, you will hear it here. We'll talk a little bit more about the two deals they did earlier today with Anthony. That's coming up next, 216-474-0092.
Moms, dads, are you the parent of a student athlete? Do you want to know how to get the most out of youth sports? If so, listen to the Next Pitch podcast to give you the tools to raise an aspiring athlete. It's not simple, but we talk straight and give you the best insight there is when it comes to youth sports. We'll cover everything from nutrition and training to mental toughness and teamwork. It's a podcast you can listen to together with your kids so everyone can benefit. Follow Next Pitch on the Odyssey app or wherever you listen to podcasts.